Let's pray real fast. Father, I just pray that everything that I just preach right now would be to your honor and your glory, and that people would just understand and everything would just line up with the scripture. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Romans chapter 12. While you're turning there, I just want to ask you guys a question. What is your job? Think about that. It's a rhetorical, or not, you know, just think about it. What is your job? It's been said that if you find something that you like to do, that you never work a day in your life. So what's your job? Do you work full-time? Do you work part-time? I'm a rigger. I work at Electric Boat. I lift things up and I put them down with a crane. I really like my job. It's a little bit more complicated than that, but that's beside the point. As Christians, we have a job, though, and that's reaching the lost. That's our big job. Our job here as Christians is reaching people that are not saved. And I want to preach on being in the world, but not of the world. So in Romans chapter 12, go down to verse 2. It says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." My first point I want to bring to you is that we, as Christians, should show our true colors. We're Christians. It's our identity. We're no longer of the world. We have a new identity in Christ. And we should own it. We should own what we are as Christians. In high school, I was ashamed that I was a Christian. I really was. I was going to a public high school, and I didn't want a lot of people to know. I didn't want that kind of attention. It wasn't cool. All the other kids were going to parties, and if you're playing football or whatever you're doing, it wasn't cool to be a Christian. You know, you just wanted to kind of fit in with the crowd, and that's kind of the commonplace in high school, at least in public high school. And when I started getting right with God, I was 17, and I decided I did not want to be that anymore. I didn't want to be ashamed of my Savior. I didn't want to be ashamed of who I was. And my big thing was that I was a Christian. Once you get really saved and once you know you're saved, the Spirit of God is never going to let you forget you're a Christian. You belong to Him. And you'll be convicted and chastened even if you try to ignore that. And I was. So when I got right with God, I decided I'm not going to let that be me anymore. I read Romans chapter 1, verse 16. I'll read that real fast. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." And I just didn't want to be ashamed, and I was not going to be ashamed. I started bringing my Bible to school. I had this little red Bible. I actually have it in my locker at work, the same exact Bible, and I read it there. But I brought it to school, and during study hall or in passing, when I had free time, I'd read it. And I would not be scared of it. I wouldn't be hiding it. In fact, I'd put it right on top of my books, and especially in science class. Science teacher didn't really like that. I put it right there, right on top of my science book. And I wasn't trying to be belligerent. I wasn't trying to be crass or in your face, but I just want to let everybody know I'm a Christian. You can talk to me. I'm a Christian. I'm okay with that. I'm not ashamed. And it won't be long before people realize that you're a religious person. You don't cuss, which is great. You know, but some Christians, their testimony just stops right there. You got a list of do's and don'ts. He's a religious person. He doesn't cuss. He doesn't drink. He doesn't smoke. And he doesn't go with girls that do. You know? And that was the case. I was that guy when I was 17. But you don't want to be just looked at as that guy that's just a religious person. Our testimony should be evident in everything that we do. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "We are new creatures. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Don't shy away from sharing your faith. I guess that's the point I'm trying to make here. And try to let it come out naturally. I'm not trying to say this like I'm an expert at this, but this is how I've learned life, and this is how I interpret it every day. So let who you are as a Christian come out naturally. At work, when the topic comes up of college, I tell people where I went to college. I went to Ambassador Baptist College. And I say it just like that. I went to Ambassador Baptist College, not in a proud way, but in a confident way. I'm a Baptist. I went to a college that preaches the Bible. And normally people will respect you if you stand in who you are, and that's who I am, and they won't if you don't shy away from it, if you just give it to them straight, they respect that. My wife, she's a school teacher here at Bible Baptist Academy. She's first and second grade school teacher. At least she was up until last Friday. We're going to be having a kid soon. But I would talk about that whenever the topic of schools came up. I mean, a lot of guys that I work with, they have kids in school, and it just came up naturally. And I would tell about what she teaches, you know, the curriculum. Usually our kids they test really high in the state of Connecticut. Like, I would be very proud of that. What are you doing this weekend? Hey, man, what are you doing this weekend? You working on your car? Are you going to be finally getting that thing fixed? Yeah, man, that's what I'm going to be doing on Saturday. I'm really working on that thing all day Saturday. Sunday, I'm going to church. And, you know, I just let it in my habit. I'm not, like, again, I try not to be overbearing and pushy, but I just say it's natural. It's in conversation. I'm going to be going to church on Sunday. I'm going to be going to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and that's where I'm going to be at. So you can pretty much turn anything, any conversation, into a spiritual conversation. Just be natural. Don't be somebody that you're not. It is possible, however, to be pushy, so pushy that you don't have any merit with the people that you're around, that you work with, or see every day. We don't want to be that. I've known guys back home, not so much here, but I'm from Chesterton, Indiana. Where Indiana is a big Bible Belt over there. There's a lot of, I guess you could say, bigotous Christianity. And it's known for a lot of just crass Christians that are just in people's faces. And I always tried to make it a point not to be that guy. I didn't want to be that guy. But I wanted to be natural, and I wanted people to know that I'm a Christian. So I guess it's a fine line. So show your true colors. Don't be ashamed of who you are in Christ. Ephesians 4:1 says, "Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called." It is not just for people in the ministry. It's for us as Christians. Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. Tell people about Christ. My second point is, be consistent. Be real. Acting like somebody in public who you're not in private is going to make people despise you. It is a hard... Nothing destroys your merit as a Christian in front of your unsaved coworkers, friends, or families more than an inconsistent lifestyle. So be the same person in public as you are in private. It is hard to bridge the gap between being associated with the world but also befriending them so that we might be able to lead them to Christ. It's really hard. You have to be right next to them. The Bible says we shouldn't be a friend of the world, because of being a friend of the world is enmity with God. But also we're supposed to be out there and leading them to Christ. And leading them to Christ means talking to them every single day. Not everybody's going to get saved the minute you talk to them. Sometimes it takes years. So it's a fine line, but as long as we have the gumption to go forward, and we're gonna be that person for Christ, God's gonna give you the power, and He's gonna give you the ability to do it. Temptations. Just from personal experience, it's hard and it's very tempting to just give in and just go with them. There's a bar right across the street from where I work at Electric Boat called the Gatehouse. And every Tuesday night, all my friends from work, and I have a lot of friends from work that go there, and they invite me sometimes. And the way they talk it up, and they make it sound like it's such a fun thing. You wouldn't believe what happened there, man. This is crazy. This guy did this. Or, you know, it sounds fun. It does. And I'm just being real. Sometimes it's like, wow, I wish I was there. I wish I would have seen that. That would have been funny to see. But why do I not go there? Why should we not go there? It's a bar. Be real. It's a bar where they serve alcohol. I'm not going to be there. And last time I checked, the Bible says don't even look at liquor. when it moveth itself aright. That's in Proverbs 23:31. So I don't buy into this whole Christians can drink alcohol bit. I don't, and I never will, and it's in the Bible. When the time comes to take a stand for your faith, be bold. Don't be proud. Don't like I said, don't be arrogant and pushing and shoving it down people's throat, but you need to be bold. The righteous are as bold as a lion. Remember who you are. We're children of God, the God of the entire universe, the God that created this world and everything in it. And just stop for a second and think of that. Sometimes it's we're just normal people. We drive cars just like everybody else, and we have 401ks, we have jobs, we go to the bank, we go to the grocery store. We're just like everybody else. No, most people in the world do not have what we have. We have God. We are children of the God of the universe. So, I mean, we should act like it. We have freedom. Real freedom is in Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Freedom isn't free, by the way. Look at our country. I have the freedom to stand up here and preach from the Word of God. A lot of countries don't have that. I have the freedom of saying homosexuality is a sin. It's wrong. You shouldn't do it. And in a lot of countries, that would be labeled as hate speech, and I would be in prison, or I would get fined or something like that. I have the freedom of owning firearms. I have the freedom of protecting myself. A lot of countries don't have that. And it's because of the thousands of soldiers that died for our freedom to do all those things. We have the freedom of press. We have the freedom of religion. But more than that, we have the freedom. This is not to do with our country. We have the freedom of avoiding hell and avoiding sin, and we have the freedom of being Christians because of Christ. Freedom isn't free for those soldiers that died for us. Freedom isn't free for us, though we for salvation is free, everybody. It's a free ticket to heaven. No, somebody had to die for that. Jesus Christ died for us. He died so that we could go to heaven. And if it wasn't for him, we'd all be headed straight to hell because we all deserve it. So don't be a yellow Christian. Don't be ashamed of who you are. Every Christian should be able and willing to lead lost people to Christ. Go to 1 Peter 3:15. It says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you for a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear." We should be ready to tell people why we believe and what we believe. Now, there's going to be a lot of people, and we've all experienced this, where they mock us and they don't really want to know. And that's, the Bible calls that casting your pearls before swine. And let's just avoid that. But there's a lot of genuine people out there that really want to know. And I sit next to a guy at work, and he's a party animal. I'll tell you what, he rides around in a Harley. He has like all the tattoos, like the typical guy. But sometimes there's every once in a while there's a window of opportunity where I can tell him, and he asks me. He knows who I am. He knows that I'm a Christian. He knows that I'm willing to take a stand. I'm bold. And every once in a while he'll ask me a serious question. Why do you believe this, Austin? And I'm ready to go. And if I'm not ready to go, I have a Bible in my locker and I can show him. And I have told him before, and he knows me, and he knows where to go if he wants answers. So we should remember that people without Christ know that there's something missing inside them. There's a missing puzzle piece inside lost people. They are searching for the answer, what is going to fill that hole in their life. And people try to find it everywhere. I think it's going to be in fame, fortune, money. A lot of people think it's in money. A lot of people think it's in money. That's where happiness is. True happiness is in money, and I'm going to be able to buy this. It's not the case. True happiness is in this bottle of liquor. It's somewhere I'm just going to just forget out all my sorrows, and that's where I'm going to find true happiness. That's obviously not the answer. True happiness and true freedom is in Christ, and everybody out there that doesn't have Christ is missing something, and they know it. They just don't know where to find it, and it's our job to you know, our job to lead them to Jesus Christ. It is the reason why we are here and why Jesus hasn't come back yet. If it wasn't for the fact that we should be telling people about Christ, if God never gave us the Great Commission, we probably would have been all raptured by now, and we'd probably been all in heaven. But that's why we're here. We were put on this planet. We're not put on this planet just to be good Christians that live good lives and to just stick to ourselves. That's not why we're here. Finally, we need to pray. Pray for your friends, your families, everybody that you know is lost individually. It's hard. It's overwhelming. Not one person in my entire Rager Shack is saved. Maybe one guy, but I don't think so. He's really confused. It's like over 20 guys that sit in a room. Well, when we're not on the job, but we're waiting for a job to come. It's over 20 guys that just are sitting there. And it's just the typical worldly nonsense. And it's hard to pray for all of them. It's very overwhelming. And if you add that to the people at the bank you see, to the people at the grocery store you see, the people that you know in your everyday life, it can be overwhelming. But we can ask God for help. And if we need to, we need to ask God for forgiveness. Are we doing what we should be doing? And believe that God will work, and he will. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for your word, and I just pray that you'd be glorified through this. In Jesus' name, amen.